Welcome to our live stream audience as well. Okay, how many of you are doing New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand. We have one pitiful New Year's resolution. Well, all right, I'm starting a new exercise routine, and I invite you to be in on this with me. It's only, now, if you have to be 60 or older for this to be effective, okay? Are you ready? Here's how you do it. You start with 2 1-pound bags of potatoes, and you hold them out like this, as long as you can, and then you let it down. And you do that several times during the day, and you do that for about a week, and then you get 5-pound bags, and you do that, and you keep working your way up, 10-pound bags, you get the idea. And then after several weeks of that, you can put some potatoes in there. Okay? Are y'all with me on this? We can do it. See, the late service laughed at that joke, Billy. It was crickets in the early service, I'm just telling you. Okay. Are you ready to worship this morning? Did you know, why should people that are not Christians, why do they think they're supposed to have all the fun? We should have fun. We should be joyful in the presence of the Lord. So I invite you this morning to, man, just set all that stuff aside, set all the stuff aside, and just let joy kind of well up inside of you this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. I thank you for this group of people, this group of servants that are wonderful and dearly loved by you. Thank you for assembling them. I pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. I pray that you would anoint this place. You would anoint the words and the music that happens today. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up in every home also, God, that's watching and is worshiping with us. Holy Spirit, move in those places as well. We love you. We adore you. We need you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise if you are able as we worship.
Good morning. Let's sing and fill our hearts with the joy of the Holy Spirit this morning. As we remember and are reminded that God's love never fails us. Well, nothing can separate, even if I ran away, 'cause your love never fails. Mistakes, but you have new mercy for me every day, and your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages, and your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, the joy. Oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, 'cause I know that you love me, and your love never fails. The wind is strong and the waters deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. I is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. You stay the same. You stay the same through the ages, and your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, the joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Sing out from Romans 8:28. You make all things work together for those who love God. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Let's sing it out. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Stay the same through the ages, and your love never changes. Maybe pain in the night, the joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. Let's sing it, church. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Well, glory in the highest I will shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storm of doubt and fear assail, and by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. The promises of Christ the Lord, and bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. I'm overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. I'm standing on the promises of God. I'm standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Amen, amen.
Amen. Let's give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. And though we are standing on the promises, you can be seated right now. And then children, y'all come ahead, y'all come forward.
A few more coming. I'll definitely have more kids this service than we did the first service. Hey guys, everybody come in. Are y'all excited to be here?
Yes.
Yes. Do you like this cold weather?
Yeah.
Yeah. Snow? I don't know that we're gonna. It might snow next year. I don't think we're going to get any snow today, okay? So, all right. So, I have a question for you, okay? Have you ever played the game Follow the Leader?
Yes.
Oh, you have? No, you've never played Follow
I've
the Leader?
I've seen it, but you've never played.
You've never played Follow the Leader?
I did.
So, raise your hand if you've played Follow the Leader. Has anybody out here played Follow the Leader? Have y'all played Follow the Leader? Okay, yes. First service, none of the kids had ever played Follow the Leader, so... Okay, so it's a pretty easy game, right?
Yeah.
It's not a hard game. You just choose a leader, and you follow what that leader tells you to do, right? He could tell you, they could tell you to jump, hop, skip, walk around in a circle.
Simon says.
It's kind of like Simon Says, but follow the leader. You just have to do what the leader says. Simon Says you have to say, Simon Says do this, Simon Says do that, right? All right. Then if you do something Simon says, you can't play the game. But follow the leader is everybody gets to play, and then you just follow and do what the leader says. You just keep on going. That's right. So it's a fun game. It's always fun just to play games with our friends anyway, isn't it? Who likes to play games? Do you all like to play games?
Yes.
All right. You know? So follow the leader is a fun game, and we have that leader. The important thing I want to talk about is being a leader, okay? So every day, do you know that we have to follow leaders every day? Yeah, we follow leaders at home. Who do we follow at home? Who does? Your brother tells you what to do? Okay. How about at school? Do you have leaders at school? Your teachers? Your teachers? How about at church? Do we have leaders at church that we follow? Yes. Do you have leaders when you're, if you like play baseball or football or soccer? Yes. So it's a coach. That's right. They're not always called a leader, but we have to follow somebody. And they tell us what to do. Do they tell us to do the right things? They should, shouldn't. Sometimes they should tell you to do the right thing. So, you know, we want them to tell you to do the right thing because we want to do the right things, right? Well, you know, I know of one amazing leader that we can all follow.
God.
God, that's right. We can follow God and we can follow Jesus. We need to follow whatever they ask us to do, right? Okay, and so I'm going to tell you about what Jesus did one day, okay? One day, Jesus was walking along the seashore, and he saw two fishermen, Peter and Andrew. They were throwing their fish nets out into the sea, trying to catch fish. And you know what? Jesus called out to them, and you know what he said? He said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. So you know what they did with their fish nets?
What?
They just left them. They got up, and they went with Jesus.
Okay.
Yeah, and then... they went a little bit further down the beach, and there were two more men, and they were mending their nets, and they were just taking care of things, and Jesus, and the two guys were James and John, and Jesus said, come, follow me. And do you know what James and John did? They followed him too, because he's the greatest leader of all. Does he tell us to do things every day? Does he tell us to love others, to be kind, and to obey? Do we always follow in those directions? Are we kind all the time?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Do we always obey?
No.
But is Jesus still the greatest leader? He still loves us, and we still need to follow him every single day because Jesus has called you and me to follow him every day of our life. Yes. So my question is, will you follow Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, raise your hand if you'll follow Jesus and do everything that he asks you to do, because Jesus is the greatest leader, and he loves us so much that he will lead and guide us in the right direction. Okay, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you are the greatest leader, and that you will lead and guide us through everything in our lives, Lord, that we can trust you and know that you care so much about us. And we thank you for all these boys and girls that are here today, and just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go.
Glad you're here.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Are we committed to following Jesus as well, adults? Yeah. Well, God bless you. Great that you're worshiping with us this morning. Once again, church family online, God bless you. Pray you feel the presence of the Lord in your home this morning. If you want to register your attendance with us at some point today, that would be awesome. In your bulletin, there's a lot of events that are upcoming. I'm not going to bore you with reading through those. You can do that yourself. I want to just highlight one thing. This Wednesday night, our Wednesday night activities resume. The meal at 5, and then at 6 p.m., we have children's, youth, and adult community groups. And if you're not connected to a community group, please see me. That's a great opportunity to get involved with other believers and do life with other people. So see me. We've got some room for that. One thing that's not in the bulletin, the 25th and 26th of February, we're having a men's retreat, a men's summit is what it's being called. And Wiley Baptist reached out to us and see if we wanted to partner with them in putting this on and encouraging our men and their men to attend. Also, Mount Zion Baptist Church is getting involved in that, an African-American church. So I'm excited about that opportunity. That'd be a good time to seek the Lord together with believers in our fellowship, believers outside of our fellowship. And, I'm just glad that Jesus did not have a denominational tag attached to him. I'm just grateful for that. So it'll be good. So there'll be other opportunities in the future. You'll hear more about that. There'll be opportunities to sign up. So, men, just kind of stick that back there in your brain somewhere, that this is coming up at the end of February. I think it'll be good. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. This morning, prayer focus is just continuing to pray for our nation, for the church, for spiritual renewal in the church and in our nation. So I'm going to ask that you join me in prayer. The altar is open if you feel led to come to the altar. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Lord, I am grateful for your promises. And every promise that's ever been given is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Not just yes, but yes and amen. It's done. And as Jeff preaches about the promises this morning, about God's love for us, Holy Spirit, just open the eyes of our heart to really grasp that deeply. Father, we lift up our nation. We continue to pray for spiritual renewal in our nation. And Lord, it's going to have to be something supernatural. I don't think the human heart can just make a decision by itself that I'm just going to be good. Boy, it just takes something supernatural to happen. And I'm not saying that people can't make good decisions, but for lasting change to take place, Holy Spirit, you're the one that has to move. And so we ask for you just to flood this land with your presence, the presence of the Lord. And just be so strong and tangible that people are driven to their knees, aware of their sin, aware of their wrongdoing, aware of their need for a Savior. And Father, I know you want to use the church to accomplish that purpose. So Lord, I pray you give us boldness. Lord, help us to step out of our comfort zones. Help us at work. Help us at the grocery store. Help us in children's sports, Lord. I just pray there's this something inside of us rise up that these are times that are serious. So, Lord, will you use the church for your glory? Stir us, shake us. And, Lord, we pray that you will heal our land. Father, I just pray against the enemy's activity. It appears that he's winning. If you just look, out across our culture, it seems like he has the upper hand. But Jesus, you're the one that's victorious. You overcome death, hell, and the grave. And God, you rule and you reign. And you look down at his efforts and you just laugh and you scoff. Lord, we pray against his activity. We pray against the fear that's running rampant in our nation, the anxiety and the depression. Lord, I just pray that that's replaced with peace and hope. Father, heal our land for your glory, God. And use your church to accomplish that purpose. Oh, Father, I just pray for fresh vision for us individually this year and corporately this year. And Lord, if there's things we need to be involved in that we're not, would you show us, Holy Spirit? We just want to honor you. We want God's agenda, Lord, your agenda to be our agenda. So bring us in line. I pray that the two match up this year. And Lord, I just want to pray for those who are ill, who are sick this morning. Lord, I just pray that you encourage and touch bodies this morning. I don't want to single anybody out, God. We pray for Cheryl Hatcher again. Pray for encouragement for her this morning. And Cheryl, I know you're listening. We love you, by the way. And more than that, Jesus loves you deeply. So Lord, touch her, encourage her, heal her body, Lord. Oh, Father, we love you. Astounded by your goodness. And thank you for loving us first. And we pray the prayer that Jesus, you taught your disciples to pray. My Father, art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We'll go ahead and receive our morning offering at this time. God bless you.
This may be a new song that we're going to sing this morning for many of you. It's called Yes, I Will. And I actually have lots of stories with this song, but this morning I just want to share with you the words of the chorus. And they say, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Yes, I will. And this is a great song to remind us in the midst of the storm, in the midst of our trials, that we can still choose to worship because God is good in the good days and the bad. We serve a great God. So this morning, I just want to encourage you not to miss this opportunity to choose to worship. I don't know if you've had a good week, if you've had a bad week. Maybe your last couple years have been tragic or very hard for you. But I think the Holy Spirit wants us to connect with God because in God is love, joy, and peace. And so even in the midst of those trials, I encourage you this morning to take that opportunity to choose to worship.
Well, I count on one thing, the same God who never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Well, I count on one thing, the same God who's never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh, yes, I will high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Well, I choose to praise, to glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise, to glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise. Glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against, and I choose to praise. To glorify, glorify the name of all names. That nothing can stand against. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I will for all my days. Oh, yes, I. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. In your prayer,
presence, Lord. Invite him here this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. In your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit.
Well, good morning again. I want to ask you, is the Holy Spirit welcome here?
Yes.
Is he welcome here?
Yes.
All right. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're with us. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe, says guests. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I will be at this end of the foyer after the service, and we'd love to meet you, have a free gift for our guests, and we are glad that you're here. So turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Don't you love the book of Romans? This is, Romans was written by the Apostle Paul. I want you to kind of have that framework. I was telling the early service that Paul was kind of, he was kind of God's guy. About a little over half of the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship? Or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. Verse 37. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We need you. We always need you, but it seems like we just need you more than ever right now. We need you to speak to us. Calm our hearts. Speak to us. Transform us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So first, as I'm getting ready to start a new series, we'll talk about it in just a second, I want to thank Brent and Jim Reinbolt for filling in for me the last couple of weeks, giving me a little breather or a little chance to catch my breath. They did a great job, and I appreciate those guys standing in for me. And we're starting a new sermon series today called Standing on the Promises. Don't you love that old hymn that we just sang, Standing on the Promises. I'll talk about that more in just a second. Today's message is God loves you, dot, 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 emphasis, God loves you, no matter what. That's important. So as we sing, a lot of the songs, whether they're an older hymn or gospel or some of a more modern contemporary, I like to kind of read about the story behind how the author came up with that song and maybe the backdrop of those songs. Sometimes it just adds a new meaning. I want to read a couple of paragraphs here as I was researching that song, Standing on the Promises. Here's what I found. In 1879, at the age of 30, Russell Kelso Carter found himself to be in critical condition due to a heart condition. Physicians could do no more for him. Being a Christian, Carter turned to God for help and healing. He knelt and made a promise. Now, this is important, these next words. He made a promise, healing or no. His life was finally and forever fully consecrated to the service of the Lord. That reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that story? Where they're being told to bow down to the idol. The king's wanting them to bow down. And here's what they said. They said, we will not bow down to your idol. And God will save us. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow down to your idol. And so Russell Carter found himself praying, just crying out to God, healing or not, he was fully consecrated to the service of the Lord from there forward. Over the next several months, his strength returned and his heart was completely healed. In fact, Carter went on to become an ordained Methodist minister. Don't hold that against him. And 7 years later, in 1886, he wrote this most famous hymn, Standing on the Promises. You see, even in the midst of Lord, I'm desperate, I'm dying, and I'm crying out to you, but whether you heal me or whether you don't, I'm still crying out to you, and I still trust you. It was the backdrop for that great hymn that we just sang. So if ever we need promises from God that we can stand on, you know, sometimes promises in our culture, we think, you promise this or you promise that. But God is faithful to his promises. And if ever we needed promises from God to stand on, I believe it's now. I'm just going to read through. I mean, you guys know what's going on. You feel it. I'm just going to read some names here. Things we're dealing with in our culture, and this is definitely not an all-inclusive list. COVID, quarantines, vaccines, no vaccines, Omicron, fear and anxiety from all this stuff. You feel the heaviness sometimes? Just this world just kind of beats us down. High prices, supply shortages, especially that dreaded toilet paper. I mean, man, you got plenty of toilet paper at home? That's another story. That's another sermon. Border security, depression, suicides. Did you know suicide rate has gone up, especially in young people? I believe it's because we're not standing on the promises of God. We're letting the world weigh us down. Political strife, racial strife, fear and anxiety. Have I said that one already? It just this stuff. Weighs us down. So, I'm going to dive right in here. First thing that we need to understand, we need to recognize, I believe, you won't get out of this life without experiencing trials. As I was talking about earlier, Paul is God's guy. I mean, He blinded him on the road to Damascus, and he ended up. The one thing about Paul, he was against the church, but he was passionate. I think God saw, this guy's passionate against me, but when he meets me, he's going to be passionate for me. And you would think it's like, God didn't say, okay, Paul, I'm gonna give you the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and you're to share it with the Gentiles, and I'm gonna enclose you, I'm gonna encapsulate you in this protective bubble. And everywhere you go, you'll be well fed, nobody will harm you, nobody's gonna say bad things about you, because I'm gonna protect you. Is that what God told Paul? No, listen to this list. 2 Corinthians, Paul says this. I've been in prison. I've been flogged. I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times beaten with rods. I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and night in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger of my own countrymen, meaning the Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, danger in the country, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. This man had been in danger. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have also often gone without food. And I love Paul because he mentions food twice. That's my kind of guy. What do you think, Robert? Me and you, buddy. Out of all of that, he's like, I've been hungry. Oh, and I've been without food too. I've been cold. I've been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily. Now listen to this. This is his last one, and I think this is where he really struggled. I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He had a heart for the people he had drawn to Christ. And we somehow, Jesus even said it, in this world you will have trouble. We somehow think that if we're navigated just right, we can get through this world without struggles, without problems, without trials. Newsflash, it's probably not going to happen. If we live any time at all on this earth, we're going to have stuff that comes up. And that leads me to my second point. Trial or no trial, God loves you. Jesus did say, in this world you will have trouble, but he didn't stop there. He said, take heart, I've overcome the world. We have, at church, we have got to quit thinking that if our circumstances are easy, God loves us. And if our circumstances are difficult, God must not love us. We've got to stop that thinking because it's not the truth. This passage that we just read just a moment ago, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So Paul is saying again, he's saying, none of these things that I'm listing here mean that God doesn't love us. Trouble and hardship and famine and persecution and nakedness and danger or sword. Neither death or life or angels or demons, neither the present or the future, no matter what you're going through, any powers, neither height nor depth. And then he kind of sums it up and says, or anything else in all creation, nothing separates us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We have to understand, church, we are going to have trials, and trials or no does not mean God doesn't love us. Trial or no, God does love us. And here, finally, thirdly, the cross proves it. I was visiting with someone, back a few months ago. This person has been struggling with cancer for some time, and really serious cancer. I was visiting with them, and I think this is profound because I didn't think of it. I believe the Lord gave me this very, very quickly. It just kind of spilled out of my mouth, and I think it was profound because I think the Holy Spirit wanted her to hear this. And here's what I said to her. It's not the smoothness of life that proves God's love for you. It's the cross. It's not whether or not you have cancer or not that proves God's love or not love. It's the cross. It's a done deal. It's settled. Hebrews 12 gives us this word. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So he's saying that There was something joyful in Jesus' heart that allowed him, that encouraged him, that got him through the cross. And some people will say, well, he was thinking about heaven, that he would soon be back in heaven. I'm like, no, I don't believe that for a second. The joy set before him was you and I. The joy set before him was that he was restoring us into right relationship through the cross with God the Father. You know, if you've been in our church a while, you've heard this probably more than once. But for some of y'all that are newer, and for those who've heard it, bear with me. But I made a transition about 20 years ago. I made a transition from the computer world. I spent about 20 years in the computer world and felt the call in ministry. And Cheryl and I responded to that call. And a lot of people thought we were crazy, but my wife didn't. And that's all that really mattered. And I knew God was calling us. And so we were walking faithfully into that. And but again, a lot of people thought I was crazy because I walked away from, you know, a good career, good job, good money, good benefits, good retirement, all those things that we kind of tend to look at. And I didn't have anything definite that I was going to. But I knew God was calling me. Cheryl knew it. We were of one accord, and we were walking faithfully in that. But things weren't happening, and we were trying to downsize all of our expenses. We're trying to. I had a nice pickup. I sold that, and you don't even want to. That's another story of the pickup I was driving. I had to open the door and put a leg out and kind of do this. But anyway, that's another story. And we were trying to sell our house and downsize and do all this stuff, and the house wasn't selling. And I one day we pulled into the driveway at our house, which is just a few blocks over here, and I told Cheryl, I said, I got to go for a jog. And she almost passed out in the driveway because I don't jog. And I got to do something. I just got to go let off some energy or whatever. And so I began to run. I had no association with Wiley Methodist Church. I began to run through these the golf cart path here, and I kid you not, I was right out here by this, between this bridge, by the water, on the under these trees, and I was scolding God. He should have zapped me right where I stood. I was saying, God, I trusted you. I've put my family at risk because I trusted you. Where are you? Why have you abandoned me? And I mean, I'm giving it to him. And a still small voice in my heart said, Jeff, I'm breaking you. I'm breaking you. I want you to know I'm all you've got and I'm enough. The Lord was forming me. He knew that if I was going to go into ministry, he knew that I couldn't do it in my own strength. He knew that I had to rely on him, and he was breaking me. James says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Sometimes the trials come because God is shaping us. Trials are no fun. I promise you, that journey, year and a half, 2 years there between the two careers, was not fun. Lots of stories I can tell about that. And I've shared this with this church before, but you guys are the answer to mine and Cheryl's prayers. This church. I'm breaking you, Jeff, because I want you to know that you can only rely on me. God loves us no matter what. No matter what. No matter what you're going through. I know some of you, maybe there's financial issues, maybe there's job issues, maybe there's marital issues, maybe you're on the outs with children, siblings, friends, all sorts of things. Maybe there's health things. God loves us no matter what, and he's proven it by the cross. I was telling the early service, and I've shared this before too, but a few years ago when I was at seminary at Duke, and one of my professors, who was also a pastor, had started a new church, and he and his leadership team went around all over the country trying to identify these churches that had grown, had been successful, and trying to gather different information from those churches. And he was in a church in California. It was a big church, and he went to worship, and they knew he was there, and they agreed to kind of let him be there and learn from them. And they're worshiping, big crowd, and they're kind of, you know, kind of rock and rolling kind of stuff. And he's looking around, and he doesn't see any crosses in the church. And when the worship was over, he was meeting with their leadership team, and he said, "Hey, I noticed there wasn't any crosses in the church. What's up with that?" And the pastor said, "We find the cross is, you know, all this emphasis on death, and we find it's kind of off-putting to some people, so we've removed all crosses from our worship center." And he said, "Well, okay, well, what about communion? How often do you take communion?" "We don't, more of that blood and death stuff, we don't do that because it's off-putting. We want to be about life." And I'm like, "Man, you got to be kidding me. There is no greater place of life than the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Life on the cross. If we're wondering if Jesus loves us, look to the cross. Cling to the old rugged cross. I mean, it's just, God loves us no matter what we're facing. It's our circumstances. God is bigger than our circumstances. And it's hard. What I'm sharing with you, don't leave here thinking preacher's all got his act together. He's always on the ball. He never struggles. I struggle. It's when I take my eyes off the cross is when I struggle. "Give thanks to the Lord," 1 Chronicles. "He is good. His love endures forever." Keep your eye on the cross. I want, if you would, just bow your head with me for just a second. I want you to, with your eyes closed, I just want you to, I've done this before. It's helpful to me. I want you to just picture yourself. You are kneeling at the foot of the cross. Just try to let yourself go right there. And you look up, and here is your Savior. He's been nailed to that cross, and you know, just you know that you know that you know that you're even unworthy even to be kneeling there before him. And he looks down at you, and he has this great love in his eyes. He doesn't say anything. He just has this great love in his eyes. And that those eyes are saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, because I love you and I'll give you rest." That's a promise you can stand on. And the joy before him, reason he went to that cross, is because he loves you. Jesus, how can we ever repay you that debt? We can't. All you ask of us is to turn our hearts to you, to believe in you, to trust in you, to place our faith in you, even in the trials of life, even when you're breaking us, even when things don't make sense, even when relationships are broken or fear and anxiety takes over, or we're struggling with our health. Marriages are broken and struggling. We trust you because we know you love us. Jesus, you are so good to us. And the cross proves it. As Carlene was telling the children, you just ask us to come and to follow you, to trust you, drop our nets, and to follow you. In the midst of the chaos of our day, may we keep our eyes on you. May we keep our eyes on the cross. We pray it in the precious name of Jesus. If you don't know that Jesus, I mean, it's one thing to go to church. It's one thing to, you may have been in church your whole life and you may not know that Jesus that died for you, that endured the cross for you. If you don't know him in that way, don't leave this place today without talking to me and praying with me about that decision. As we close, I invite you to rise if you're able as we sing this last song of worship.
And higher than the mountains that I face, and stronger than the power of the grave, and constant in the trial and the change, this one thing remains, this one thing remains, your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. I know my death in There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, your love never fails, and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, and never gives up, never runs out on me. Love. Sing it out. Your love never fails. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Church, God loves you, dot, 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 no matter what. It's not the smoothness of life that proves God's love for us, it's the cross. We have good news, church. Go and share it with someone. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you. To this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.